Before I get started today, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in LA. Her work involves not only a specialized focus on TMS, but also helping clients transform important aspects of life that feel stuck or overwhelming, such as career, relationships, weight issues, confidence, purpose, life stressors, you name it. So her results are twofold. One, you'll finally heal your TMS symptoms. And two, you'll take control of other areas in life that need your attention and care. Perhaps you've only experienced small improvements with your TMS symptoms, or perhaps you're overwhelmed with next steps. Either way, many clients come to her who have tried traditional therapy, group coaching, or various programs and only made minimal improvement. Jeannie will help you find the healing that's been elusive. I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn more about her one-on-one coaching program, which includes weekly calls and the consistent support between sessions that help you get over the hump with your goals. Go to jeanniecolwin.com, that's J-E-A-N-N-I-E-K-U-L-W-I-N.com, and book your free call. Also, when you're on her website, check out the impressive testimonials page to see her clients' results firsthand. Welcome back to the show. It is January the 11th. She doesn't listen to this podcast, but I'm going to give a shout out to an old friend of mine, Erin, whose birthday it is today. Again, she doesn't listen, but the reason that I remember the birthday is 111. It's the easiest birthday to remember. I'm going to see if I can find or dig up her cell phone number in my phone to wish her a happy birthday. So happy birthday, Erin, if for some reason you are listening to this. I'm going to give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. If you want to support the show, the best way to do it, go to patreon.com/the Mind and Fitness Podcast. There's 25 of you. And for those 25 of you, I sent out a note a couple of days ago that coming up here on February the 22nd, let me make sure that's actually the, bear with me for just a second. Yes, February 22nd at 12 p.m. live on Patreon, there's going to be a live get-together, Q&A, whatever we want to call it. We did one of these a few months ago. It was a lot of fun meeting some of the different faces. So if you're able to attend, it's at 12 p.m. Pacific here on the West Coast. Again, Thursday, February the 22nd, there's a Patreon get-together for all patrons that are part of the show. So thanks for the support. Okay, today's sponsor, which is Jeannie Colwin. I've been talking about her for well over a year. She's been on the podcast numerous times, and she is back today to talk on the show again. We had a conversation. It was several weeks ago at this point, but we wanted to push it off until January. This is probably my favorite interview of us together. Wasn't in person. We've had interviews that are in person in the past, so this one is not, but be that as it may, she's a lot of fun. We got down deep with some of the story and some of the evolution and some of the things that she's working on, some ways that she helps people, and some of the different things that have come to mind and different things that she's been working on here in the last little while in this podcast. So I'm excited for you to hear it. Without further ado, here is Jeannie Colwin and I. And you can check out the notes section of this podcast, by the way, to get more information about her. But yeah, I think you're going to love this. Let's take a listen to Jeannie and I. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein, and with me today, you've heard her name a lot on this show over the last couple of years, but I'm happy that she's here. This is the first, I think, interview that we've done that has not been in person. JeannieColwin.com. Jeannie Colwin is with me. Can you hear me, Jeannie?
Yeah. Hi, Eddie. Thanks so much. So happy to be here, even if it is via the internet. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, and you were here a couple. Now, so the last couple of years, though, you've come up here to Seattle. I feel like it's been in like late August. Am I crazy? Am I right on that?
Yeah, no, that's been right. Yeah. And then this time I came end of September and just I was on the island. So a little bit too far from you.
That's right. You were on Whidbey Island. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the problem with September versus August is August, the kids are out of school. So they're at summer camps. And then school hasn't obviously started. I'm also not coaching in August. But then you get into September and now suddenly the kids are in school. I'm coaching and life's a little tougher at that point in time. So, you know, be that as it may, but I'm happy that you're here. And one of the themes that is going to be, as far as today's episode goes, is this concept, and I purposely didn't ask for more context, but this idea of a comfort zone, and again, intentionally ambiguous, Tell us about the comfort zone as it pertains to Jeannie Colwin and this work.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about how to bring this all together because I've been on your show before. We've talked all about breath work. We've talked about my journey. We've talked about stress coaching. And I really wanted to bring a lot of value. And what I see, because I work with clients, I think, you know, as a stress coach, so people who don't have TMS, although we can all agree we all have some anxiety and some symptoms, yeah. But clients that I work with that are going through career changes or divorce or life changes. And then obviously I work with clients with TMS. And I just saw this huge theme in everything that I'm working with people currently. And it's this comfort zone idea, right? You've heard it before, but I just kind of want to share how I work with it and what it means. And like for the first part, I think when we think about the comfort zone, we think it's comfortable. It can be freaking miserable. it's not comfortable for a lot of us, especially a lot of people I see suffering from TMS symptoms. And the way I kind of frame it as a, like a reference point to get started is we can look at the comfort zone. The way I teach with my clients is we want to go into the stretch zone. When you're in the stretch zone, that's where learning occurs and that's where growth occurs. Now, being in your stretch zone can be really uncomfortable, but just want to really remind you that that's where the growth and the magic is. The panic zone, that's like going too fast. Maybe your nervous system isn't regulated. In my world, most of my people, we don't want to hang out there. That's too much, too fast.
No, but and to make sure that I'm clear, this is like a continuum. So you have, if you imagine mm-hmm. like a string in front of you, the comfort mm-hmm. zone is probably like the lower third of that line. And then the stretch is probably about midline or slightly above. But then what was the third one you said?
And then the last one is panic zone. And for some people that could be helpful. Like Tony Robbins is like burn the bridges. But for most people that I work with in our community, most people are happy not to hang out there.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it is that burning your bridges and going all in the panic zone, the research suggests that there's not growth there like you would expect. So we know that there's no growth in the comfort zone, or a lot of us are familiar with that. There's no growth in the comfort zone, but the magic, the spicy secret sauce is the stretch zone. It's like where we want to get stretchy. And I just want to show you with this TMS approach, that's what we're doing. We are constantly, if we're going to overcome perfectionism and goodism and try and feel our emotions, this is all stretchy. It's going to be uncomfortable, and that's okay because that's where the growth and the magic is.
How would you reconcile that with, and I don't think that any of Sarno's books or any of the other experts in have actually specifically said this, but one of the senses that I get on more so like Sarno's work, because I guess that Nicole Sachs talks a lot about like doing the work, but as far as like Sarno's stuff is concerned, and this is just an implication based on him saying like, you don't need to change your personality type, but you do need to be aware of it, it almost sounds like he's saying, hey, like more work or making this hard or almost making this a task or a chore is not necessarily the way out. How does that, like, how do you reconcile that with what you're saying about stretch zone?
Yeah, I mean, I just think a lot of us, I'll just talk for myself. I mean, I was really comfortable. I've shared my story being a teacher, right? Like I was comfy and I wasn't growing and learning, but it wasn't like I was such like not aligned with my values. I think a lot of our personality types, like if we are people pleasing, if we are just obsessed with wanting control and goodism, it's like not changing your personality, right? It's great to be that you are trying to be a good person. But what happens is if you like get really attached to being good and being perfect, right? Then we can risk like not taking risks in our lives. And we're not going to try and do new things because we're so terrified of making mistakes. So that's why it's not panic zone and like change your personality, but it is to try to live a bigger life, right? When we stay kind of small, because we want to avoid failure, we want to avoid taking a loss. Oh my God, taking an L, are you kidding? That's so painful. And so if we can look at it as part of life, and if you want a big life, and if you want, you know, all the things and the magic of life, it's going to require you to be a little bit more uncomfortable than maybe you have been. And maybe the TMS is like a catalyst for you to start making some changes and acknowledge and accept where you are in your life.
I think that's a good point. As you're saying that, taking an L, I'm looking at, I've talked about this a lot the last couple of years, or a couple of years ago on the podcast, was that being relatively fearless, but I'm looking at my motorcycle, which has been beat to all hell from trips that I've taken, but risks that I've taken, stretch, if you will, stretch zone, and things, they're not reckless and they're not anxiety because I don't ever think I'm in danger of dying or anything like that. But things that I probably wouldn't have done 7 or 8 years ago that now I'm trying, that's the thing that comes to mind for me. Can you relate that to like parts of people's lives? Not necessarily in where they're willing to go with, you know, whether it be journaling or breath work or therapy or things like that, but just actions in their daily life.
Sure. Well, let's talk about breath work. Some people don't want to do breath work because it's uncomfortable or it's new or anything, right? Like I have thought about taking dance classes and I'm like, oh, like I'm not going to be good. I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm not a good dancer right now. I mean, our whole life you can look at is like, we are just terrified to be uncomfortable, right? And yeah, I mean, we could start with like a career, like how I mentioned before too, with if we're in a career or we're thinking about making changes, but then we'd have to try something new. Or if you're going to go down the entrepreneur route, like it's more public, right? Or it could be in my field, right? I'm putting myself out on social media. And when I started, I was terrified. I think I told you, and now I feel more comfortable on there, but I feel more comfortable, not because like the only way to get more comfortable is to do the thing. And by doing the thing, and I tell people it's a skill and it's a practice, that's how you get better. So if we talk about emotions, like the reason we don't want to take the L, Eddie, is because it doesn't feel good, right? We can feel shame, anxiety, sadness, anger from taking a loss, from making a mistake. But if you learn that you can move through that, you're going to be able to take more risks. And that's just the fact, right? It's like we're not afraid as much of the mistake. It's more what the mistake means and the emotions that are behind it. So if you can be able to tap into your body and know how to move through these emotions, feel, process, accept, then it's a superpower. I've said this before. Your emotions are a superpower. Before, you're like, I don't want to do the thing. The thing could mean the loss and the emotions and all the shame and all that goes with it. But if you're able to be like, hey, this is a part of life. I want to play bigger now. And knowing that you can, like, it's not going to stop you anymore, right? Like, you being sad, you being angry, you being shame, yeah, we don't want to feel them, but you know how. Yep. And you can. And when you process and accept, they're actually not in your body anymore. Remember, like we talked about last time I was on, the body keeps the score. The emotions, the trauma, the micro trauma. I mean, having a huge loss or having a big mistake with your career, that can be traumatizing, right? Or if it's public or the public knows something about this. So how do you move forward? The only way is to actually process and feel it. And you've heard me say before, like if you feel it, you can heal it. And that's how you move forward.
How... And this is, it's such a retrospective, but I hadn't thought about the career part of it. But one thing that comes to mind is my, and this was like, it's coincidental or whatever, but if I was a client of yours, for instance, and I'm thinking way back to 2016, but I had come off this really like incredible run of several years of really, really high success in my career, and then kind of stumbled in 2016. You know, I went from 2015, I was the very top to like tippy top performer that there could be. And then in 2016, you know, I was like the 25th performer or the 15th performer or something like that, which just really crushed me. I wouldn't admit it or say it to anybody, but man, I was like, I was like wallowing, but like not trying to wallow or telling myself not to wallow or whatever. What would you have said to me then that could have helped me get through that or get past that? Because it ate away at me for a long time in my head, but also my body, obviously.
Yeah, great question. So there sounds like there was some shame, right?
Yep.
Anger, sadness. Okay, so we've got to feel it to heal it. So first of all, just acknowledging the shame, saying the word out loud, having someone that you trust be witness of sharing that with someone. They say that 50% of your shame can like go away just by having someone that you trust and telling someone, hey, I'm really ashamed that my performance has been not so good or I didn't live up to expectations. That's really, really powerful. Having, a safe space. And then, like you said, the shame is in the body. So you can pretend, you know, and this is where we can go on this another tangent, like a whole nother podcast is about addiction, right? We don't want to feel the shame. And so a lot of people could turn to drinking or smoking or video games or porn or sex. There's like so many ways that we can numb and buffer with food and things like that. So yeah, the way out is through, right? I would have been with you present to process in your body somatically the shame, because talking about it can is the first step, right? Acknowledging it, accepting it. But then, like you said, it was in the body. So I think a lot of the things that we're doing sometimes, and like especially with TMS, sometimes we write about it or we talk about it. But you know me, I'm like body, body, the mind, body. Like we forget the body a lot. So it's really about feeling the emotions in the body, like processing. And if you're angry, because I'd be angry if I didn't get the status I had before, or maybe angry at myself or the new requirements, how that they set up the structure with the sales and stuff. Maybe there's anger and that anger is fiery. I have my clients move that anger, right? Like we're taught to be like, oh, you're angry. Take some deep breaths. Okay, so you know I'm a breathwork coach, meditation coach. I'm not telling my clients to take deep breaths yeah. unless you're in a situation where you need to be, and that's okay. So it's like we're taught to compartmentalize our emotions, and that's great in certain situations. When you're with your kids, when you're coaching soccer, when you're in a meeting, yes, we can push down that anger, right? Like especially at work. And I was a teacher. I had to always push down my anger and not get mad at the kids. The problem is I push down the anger and then I'm repressing it. I'm so angry at the kids when I was a high school teacher, or maybe you're angry at the situation, right? The structure of work, but we don't feel it. We don't move it. Emotions are energy in motion. Like they need to move. So the anger is fiery for us in this TMS community. We're not feeling it. We're not moving it. So I would approach it from that point.
Do you, so you've talked about a couple of things here, and I'm curious if they're intertwined or if they're, it's something I've just been thinking about lately. So you talked about the term shame, and then you talked about anger and the fiery anger and stuff like that. Can anger just exist on its own, or is there always something underneath it? Can somebody just have anger and that's it? And when I say something, I mean an emotion under it, not a story or what caused it or whatever, but can there just be anger in isolation?
Yeah, I think there can be a lot of times, so much, there's sadness underneath it. Mm-hmm. There is grief, right? So especially for men, we're conditioned in the society that men can't be sad, right? We can't cry. So I have found that many times underneath the anger, and it's a really safe mechanism in our society, right? If you watch TV or watch movies, you know, men get angry, it's acceptable. It's very socially acceptable. I saw my dad getting angry, right? I could count on my one hand how many times I saw my dad crying.
Yeah.
So we learn that that's acceptable to be angry. We don't learn it's okay to cry. And guess what? We don't like it. It's going back to the comfort zone, right? Being vulnerable. I mean, no one's signing up for that. Like, how do I be more vulnerable? And how do I lean into that? Super uncomfortable for a lot of us. So I think to your point, yeah, so many times underneath anger, I remember I was so angry once and I did like a somatic tool to kind of help me move the anger. 20 seconds in, Eddie, I was crying. And I was so, as a coach, I'm like so happy, interested, like light bulb moment of like, it's so true. Like we're so angry sometimes and like straight underneath it. So I'll kind of rage sometimes, so to speak, and then underneath, and then I'm crying, and then there's anger. Yeah, and then there's shame underneath it. Emotions aren't really static on their own. I think they're really intertwined. I mean, there could be a lot of gratitude after you go through a practice where you're able to like emotionally release. There's a lot there. Yeah.
So maybe I'm jumping ahead here. One of the things we talked about, I just feel like this is the perfect time to put this in. One of the things we talked about chatting about was TMS personality types, and the example of social accept, you know, socially accept, and it's perfect that you're a female because this will press probably a good part for you to interject from a female perspective. But you mentioned like socially accepted is men anger. So like we see it all the time. You had mentioned seeing your dad angry a lot, but could count on one hand how many times you saw him cry. If that were fully the case, wouldn't TMS personality types, if you looked it up in a book, just be a picture of a dude, a guy with a beard, and that's it. Talk about the female side of that then.
Oh, my female clients. Yeah, so female. I mean, all of us, this TMS community, right? Like the themes that we see, this perfectionism, especially moms, right? And dads too, but just trying to be perfect with everything and people pleasing, like having a hard time saying no and wanting control. And again, this like goodism, if I make a mistake, then I'm not good. I mean, there's a lot there. And so all of this goes back to the theme of today of comfort zone, right? So for me to say no, like people pleasing, if someone asks me to do something and I say no, that's super uncomfortable. But if I'm people pleasing because I don't want to make them upset, they're not going to like me. Now I am just in this muck, right? I mean, it's not clean energy. I'm doing it now from resentment. I don't have time in my life because I'm saying things that yes to things I don't want to do. So these personality types, like how do you get better with the people pleasing? How do you get better with perfectionism? By getting into your stretch zone and knowing it's okay to be uncomfortable. There's this quote from Glennon Doyle about like, if there's ever you're looking at displeasing somebody else or not pleasing yourself, you always want to pick not, I can't remember what the quote was exactly, but just like turning someone down, right? It's like, you never want to not be there for yourself. If someone else is going to be upset, that's okay. But when you're doing things for other people, it's really, really not from this great space. Yeah, so, yeah. And I think too, like taking risks, right? Like we like control, we like certainty, we don't like the unknown, this personality type for us. So if we can start to take risks and know it's safe and know that, right, there's going to be ups and downs. It's not like a straight journey. It's super helpful.
I like that. So when you're working with a client and you get to this point of, okay, the comfort zone, but then we have the stretch zone, but then we have the one more time, the anxiety zone. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's called this is the framework I learned, the panic zone.
Okay. So how do you know when somebody is there? Cause I'm sure they're probably not telling you. You have to use intuition to know that you're there. Am I right on there on that?
Yeah. It's kind of a co-creation between me and my client. If we're looking, let's say, at self-love or self-compassion, and I'm working with a client, I'm just going to take an example. Like I have a client who doesn't love her body, and she's right. I'm not going to have her go into the mirror and be like, I love my body. I'm so beautiful. Right.
Yeah.
That's just going to send her nervous system, and the body knows it's BS anyway. Right. So, I mean, because I know her, but I'll always have this relationship with my clients where like, tell me if this is too much and what do you think and does this land for you, and everyone's different. So yeah, it's like us together of, and I'll suggest to her for us, like we just started with I have a body, right? I was like, how does that land? Can you say I have a body, or my body helps me do XYZ? And for her, that was safe and that felt okay. So it's baby steps. Yeah. And then just asking, right, how does this land? Is this something that you could say? Do you believe it? Sometimes we'll say like, I'm learning to believe that I could love my body. You know, another client was like, I don't love my body now, but I like my body, or I don't love myself, but I like myself. So yeah, it's us working together. And yeah, it's like the first session actually of every client that I work with, we talk about the stretch zone, well, the comfort, the stretch, and the panic zone. Yeah, definitely.
So you touched on a second ago there, it's something I think about a lot, actually, having your client, you know, look in the mirror and say all these positive things about themselves. That's not necessarily what you have them do.
No.
Talk about affirmations. the difference of, because part of the reason I don't talk about this TMS stuff, like people are amazed. I was at a dinner just last week for work with some people that I'm on this board with that I volunteer on. And one of them had said that she had heard that I did this podcast, and then we kind of got, and I'm giving her very vague details because it just, for some reason, it's very controversial with people, the whole concept of any of this stuff. So I don't really talk about it a lot. And because I'd spoke about this with my brother a few years ago, and actually a couple of friends of mine at the time. And, you know, they sort of sarcastically said, oh, so if I just think happy thoughts, then all my pain will go away. And, you know, I kind of rolled my eyes like, oh, this is exactly why I never talk about it. Can you talk about affirmations versus what the work that you do and what the necessity of this work is?
Sure. Okay. So I actually had a client that was on your podcast who was talking about his success story. And one of the first sessions that we talked about, he said, is that his wife had said to him, oh, you should just think more positive or just be more positive. And this is what I said. I said, that's lovely. And I know your wife's trying to be supportive and I know her intentions are great, but that's not the approach we're going to take here, because your body, it's like the energy and the frequency, right? Like we know when we're lying to ourselves, and our subconscious is so powerful. So we want to feed our subconscious with things that we can get on board with. So what happens is what I shifted, and this was like the goal. It was like, okay, so the more we can start to believe in TMS and know that you can get better and you can start to reduce your pain and have more fun in your life and bring back activities, the more you start to get start to, you know, learn and accept and move forward. You're feeling your emotions, you're bringing your stress down, you're regulating your nervous system. You are naturally going to be more positive. But I think when you focus on that, it's like your subconscious, the energy isn't clean, right? You're like forcing yourself to think something. Your body knows it's a lie. Your subconscious knows it's like, it's not going to work because the conscious and the subconscious, they're like out of alignment, right? Mm-hmm. There's like, you're forcing it. You don't even believe it. So if we can get yourself on board with what's true, right? If someone comes to me to work on TMS at some level, of course, like they have a high level of knowledge and belief in TMS. Okay, cool. So you believe this is TMS. You know that as we start to process, like I said, you do all these things, the natural byproduct is you're going to feel better. And that's what happened. He started to feel better. He's having a bigger life. He's back into sports. He's doing the things. But when you just focus on that, it doesn't work.
I kind of thought you were going to say something like that. So good. We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Excellent. So talk about a couple. We didn't fully break into the TMS personality types conversation. I want to go there next and how it relates to what you do.
Yeah. So I think the personality types, we can look at that in many different areas, but you can think about that even just in relationships too, right? So let's talk about in a romantic relationship. So if you are people pleasing with your spouse or your partner, that might not be you being completely authentic and you sharing your truth, right? We kind of like make ourselves smaller. We are trying to be perfect so that someone doesn't like get to know the real part of us. So when you can share authentically, when you can be vulnerable, that's going to lead to more connection. So emotions, which is what a lot of us need to work on in this community, right? Or feeling our anger, feeling and processing, like, so it's not being repressed anymore. That's going to help you in your relationships as a couple, right? Because, wow, I mean, men, this is like such, when I work with men and it's like, if you can hold space for your partner, if a woman can feel safe and respected and you're not trying to change her or tell her to be more positive, that you can just be like, I got you. Of course you're sad. So a lot of us in general, we're not comfortable holding space for other people because we're not comfortable with our own emotions. So I want to kind of let that land. So yep. If we're not comfortable with our own emotions, again, here we go, comfort zone, right? I don't like to feel sad, anger, whatever it is. If I'm not comfortable with my own emotions, when someone else comes to me, it's going to be super uncomfortable. So we could think about that with our kids, right? I mean, we think about our child is upset. We don't want them ever to be sad, Eddie, right? I mean, here's a lollipop, or don't think that. Of course you're pretty. But sometimes kids will learn that these emotions are not good, right? Because we're trying to change them out and shift and no, don't be sad, don't cry. Like the messaging, it's kind of confusing. I didn't learn that it was okay to be sad or angry until way later in life. Like I thought there was something wrong with me if I was sad or angry. So I think for our personality types and especially like being good moms and dads, like we don't want our kids to suffer. We don't want them to be sad or angry. But if we can be more comfortable, we can show them that it's fine. Like we feel them, we process it, there's not a problem. And that can be really powerful. So for the relationships, I kind of went into two, right? It could be the romantic, it could be the relationship with your kids, it could be your friends. I mean, you'll notice as you do this work, you do the TMS work and really kind of get into it, you'll see your whole life start to change because you're not just focusing on the pain, right? I mean, yes, the pain's going to go down, you're going to heal, but you're healing so many other areas of your life that maybe, as we say in my intro, right, maybe that needed tending to, and career relationships we're talking about today.
I don't want to derail, but because you had mentioned it with kids and things like that, I had this, and again, this is providing little to no value to this conversation, but what it's making me think of is I had, there's this group of friends that I have, and all of us get together usually like quarterly. It's us and our significant others and all that kind of stuff. And the kids come if we're going to a place that's like kid appropriate, whatever. My best friend lost his wife to cancer about a year and a half ago. And one of the things, he's got two girls exactly the same age as my two girls and their friends and all this kind of stuff. And one of the things that he was talking to me about was about how just like much like anger there is, especially his older daughter, just in general, like with, and he knows it's tough for her to like verbalize, you know, I miss mom or like whatever the case is, but that she's angry and that she'll, you know, she'll yell and she'll spit and she'll cry and all this stuff at him or her sister or things like that. And I was just kind of frank with him, like, you know, here's the thing, like, unfortunately you're going to be the punching bag for a lot of this. And I know like we want to have our kids feel better, but the thing is, like, the reason that she does that to you or to her sister or to her nieces or her aunts or uncles or whatever is because she feels safe with you and with them. So if she can be her and put that anger out there, put that sadness out there, and you guys can be the punching bags and take it, she likely will not have these issues later on because she understands that this is the safe spot. Whereas if you sort of shut that down now, she may never understand how to be angry or how to be sad. And then there are other vices down the road in her life that she turns to. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And definitely, I mean, this is a trauma, right? This is a traumatic event. So this could be something a therapist can work with deeper too, because that's more like the therapy route mm-hmm. of this. But yeah, definitely. Right. It's like, when I talk to clients and how do I move my anger? It's like, have a tantrum.
Yeah.
I mean, little kids have tantrums. They get angry. Let's say something that's not the cancer, say something else, right? They're upset about something. They have a tantrum and then they're fine. Yep. They have their little meltdown. And so it's a good reminder that kids, we can learn a lot from them. They feel their emotions. They don't care. Like, they cry. They don't care what people think. And then they feel so much better. So I think that's a good reminder. And yeah, that's a really hard, difficult situation. But I think you had a lot of great insight there with that one.
So as we kind of wrap up the last few minutes here, I know we want to talk a little bit about career and relationships specifically. I know you kind of jumped on the peripheral a little bit for that, but specifics to talk about as far as that goes.
Yeah. And yeah, I know we've touched on it a little bit before. I wanted to share a quote with you too, and we can kind of see what comes up for you. This was on Instagram, so maybe you've seen it. It's very popular. It says, "The magic you're looking for is in the work you're avoiding." Mm. Ooh, should I say it again?
Yes, please.
"The magic you're looking for is in the work you're avoiding." Instagram quote. So I think we can use that for anything with TMS and specifically, you know, feeling our emotions, right? People come to me, and this is why TMS and healing isn't like the biggest sell, right? Eddie, it's like, are you sure I can't just get a surgery or take some pills? Like I want to, we're not consciously thinking this, but I kind of want to avoid doing this like deep inner work. That's what we think. Sometimes there's like a quick fix or a quick pill or something. But if you realize the magic you're looking for is in the work you're avoiding, wow. So in terms of emotions, being comfortable or learning to be stretchy, at least with it, right? If you feeling your emotions is so brand new and you've just avoided it your whole life, yeah, you're just going to go in little baby steps. You're not going to be doing it to the depth of someone who's been indoctrinated with this and very familiar with it. We're all really new. And in terms of like career and relationships, like where is it in your life that you're playing small? I mean, I think a lot of us, I'm in my 40s, you know, sometimes there is a career change that's needed, or you've been wanting to do something else, or, you know, things are okay. I mean, I think a lot of us with career, most of us made our career choice, I don't know what, 22. I became a teacher at 23. 20 years later, you might not be fulfilled and happy anymore, but admitting it, Eddie, or like sharing that, it's super scary, right? It brings up a lot. So, you know, changing careers, starting something new, perhaps being an entrepreneur, it's really uncomfortable. When I was a teacher, I had health benefits, I had tenure, I had all the security in the world, and leaving that for something unknown, so yeah. Scary.
Yep.
I needed a lot of breath work. I needed, you know, coaching for that. That wasn't something that was just, oh, yay, right? Because I'm very familiar with the TMS personality type. I like control and I like perfectionism, and doing something new, you're not going to be perfect at it in the beginning. So I mean, I think with a sales career too, right? I mean, moving through any shame or disappointment, right? Like, even if it wasn't shame, Eddie, what if you had a bad year or a bad quarter, whatever it is, and you're just super disappointed, but you just pushed it all down. You never felt it. It just stays in the body. The body keeps the score. So now you've kind of like moving through life, maybe with all of this in your body, and it compounds, and, you know, daily stress and the stress you put on yourself. So I think it's just really important. And I work with a lot of clients to address the thoughts that they're having. The thoughts can be so powerful. Look at, if we're a TMSer, like I talk about, and we're a perfectionist, then we're thinking like really mean thoughts about ourselves sometimes and being really hard on ourselves. That causes so much stress. So when you're talking about a career change, we want to notice what we're thinking. And like you say, which I love, you know, lowering the stakes about what it means to be fulfilled in your life and in your career, and
yep,
what else is there for you?
Yep. Yeah, I like, how long did you, so like, you know, you had made, which I love, by the way, that you, I don't, I think we talked about it, but I came from two teachers. My parents are both teachers. How long before you actually exited that did you have the, like the tug, like it's like tugging on your heartstrings or whatever, like, this isn't so much for me anymore? Or maybe, hey, things have changed. And even though this was great for me for 20 years, this is not the case anymore. Like, how long did that sort of fester before you kind of did something about it?
I mean, I say maybe 7 or 8 years of kind of,
that's a
I
long
know.
Time.
And this is why I'm so passionate about it. This is why I'm like screaming from the rooftops. Like, you don't have to stay stuck, and you don't have to stay small and out of alignment. Right. So, yeah, that's why I'm like super passionate about it as well, because it's not there's more possibilities and opportunities out for you. And I think ever since, if we're looking at 2020, right, and now what that means, there's so many jobs and possibilities and hybrids and situations that we didn't have before. People can work from home. There's so many, the traditional go to college, 9-to-5 stuff. I mean, there's just been an explosion, right, of what people, I mean, I have clients that are international. Before the pandemic, I didn't have any international clients. So I think things have changed a lot. And I think what you learn in college, what you learn in high school, if you went to grad school, things are a lot different now. So it's a pretty exciting time.
That's awesome. I know people hear it at the beginning of podcasts, but where can they find you? Tell us the places, like, you know, the website and the socials and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So lots of places to come find me. I hang out on Instagram at Jeannie Colwin Coaching. I know we'll link that up, but I'll spell it JeanieKulwin. So Jeannie Colwin Coaching on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want my free mini breathwork session, that is on my website, www.jeanieculwin.com. You get immediate access, and I really want to challenge you. A good coach is going to challenge you and not let you, you know, play small. You're like, oh, I've never tried breathwork. So try it for free. You get immediate access to a mini session with me. I walk you through it. I share how to do it. You can do this anytime that you want. The theme is confidence and worthiness. So that's really great. And then also stay in my world, because in February, I'm going to be offering a free training for stress and how to learn how to become more embodied. So you definitely want to either be on my email list by opting into the mini breath work or being in my Instagram world. You'll get more information about that next year.
Jeannie, thank you so much for being here. It's JeanieKulwin.com and Jeannie Colwin Coaching on Instagram to find her there. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Eddie. See you soon.